13th verse of Acts chapter 19, we begin to meet some people. The first people we met are these vagabond Jews, exorcists, who took upon themselves to use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to use the name of the Apostle Paul and to adjure or to demand that these evil spirits come out by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven of them. They were the sons of a religious man, a Jew, called here the chief of the priest, which is kind of interesting that it points it out. So obviously it points it out to us for a purpose, and he was the chief of the priest, probably not a chief priest that came, and really the cadence here in the translation, the cadence is a little different than we would read of the chief priest as we have read in the early part of the book of Acts. So this is the chief of the priest, and obviously, the point of this, whether there's another point that is more obscure, the point of this is he was a very religious man and he had raised his seven sons in religion. They knew religion. They even dared to be the people that went around demonstrating religion and exorcisms, whether true exorcisms, I doubt. Or more like Simon Magus, who'd bewitched the people of Samaria, probably more like that. But they were religious. Well, the evil spirit surely responded in a way that they were not expecting. First of all, or maybe that we were not expecting, Jesus I know. So every evil spirit knows Jesus and bows to him. The devils, that's what James says, ye believe. You have this belief without works. You have this belief that is not manifested in lifestyle changes. You have this belief that you hold as some kind of trophy without it having any effect upon what you do. Well, the devils believe and tremble. The demons believe. And so they do tremble. They know they are under the curse of God. Demons have said to Christ, "Why have you come to torment us before our time?" They knew these things and still know these things. And there are still demonic influence, evil spirits in this world. Often they are in the cutting edge of where the gospel is making progress in the world. For example, in Africa, there's what you call the African traditional religion. The first trip I went over there in 2015, I was told about that. And basically it's spiritualism, where they worship the dead. And they use passages of scripture like, though being dead, yet he speaks. Which has absolutely nothing to do with dead people speaking. It's the influence that's left behind. But anyway, but when you deal with these dark powers, there's a great possibility that you're going to be influenced by evil. That's why the scripture teaches us that we shouldn't be dwelling on these things. We shouldn't be dealing with the doctrines of devils. We should think on things that are high, things that are noble, things that are right, things that are pure, things that are holy. That's what we should spend our thinking upon. We shouldn't be spending our thinking upon all of this evil thing. And you know, it's really interesting that there are those who said, if we would forget God and forget religion, forget Christianity, that we would ultimately be moved into a utopia. But basically, have you noticed that every view of the future by humanists is always dystopian? And in fact, we're living today in a dystopian era. We're not living in a good time. We're living in a bad time. But they promise this, but what do they deliver? But have you noticed that our generation has a fascination for death? One of the most popular shows on broadcast television is now The Walking Dead. They are in many, many horror movies that are trying to out-horror the last one. And I would just say to you, just as pastoral advice to you, don't watch that stuff. Don't fill your mind with that stuff. Don't read those books. Think on higher, nobler. You know, let those allure your sight, you see. Well, that's why we see what we see today. These powers are real. Though we may, running into them, it may be rare. But they're real. And I know a man, personally know a man. He was raised by a pastor. His father was a pastor and a professor in Christian University. But he gave up all of that. Baptized as an infant, as a Christian, but he gave up all, and he began to pursue hard rock and roll music. He began to pursue, I can't remember all the details of his testimony, but pursuing the darker side. He said, I was an atheist, but the thing that caused me to give up my atheism was my experiences with these dark spirits. That awakened me to the fact that there was a supernatural element and aspect to this world. Well, thank God, ultimately God saved him out of that. But he told me that when he was in it, and many years when he was delivered from it, he could not stand the dark. He couldn't be in the dark. He slept, even as an older man, he slept, not as a child, but in his 20s and maybe into his 30s, he slept with the lights on. He couldn't take darkness because darkness, he's afraid. That's interesting, an interesting testimony in light of these passages of Scripture. I know Jesus. I'm not sure that that was something that these demons were especially happy about. I know Jesus and I know Paul. So it makes me wonder, do they know us? Look, I can tell you the worst thing that can happen to us as a preacher, me as a preacher, you as a congregation, you as a Christian living your life in Christianity, the worst thing that can happen to you is not that they love us. Well, we surely would desire for them to love us, right? Or not that they hate us. That's not the worst thing that can happen to us, that they hate us and they speak against us. They speak evil against us. They try to stop us. It's amazing to me that even some people that claim to believe what we believe still try to stop us with their malicious speech and slander. But that's not the worst thing they can do. I can tell you the worst thing that can happen to us as a church of Jesus Christ, as a local church here in Jones County, Mississippi, and in Laurel, the worst thing that they can do is ignore us. to count us irrelevant. But I can tell you this, these demons did not count Jesus or Paul as irrelevant. But they did count these religious people. Of course, you know the outcome. The man leaped on them, beat them to such a degree that they fled from the house naked and wounded. And when this was heard, that those demons gave witness to Jesus and Paul and beat up those that knew neither Jesus nor Paul. They were gripped with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, even through the satanic, demonic voice of evil spirits. The last thing Satan wanted Christ to do was go to that cross. Now, I went as an observer when it first came out to this play that was really kind of done in such a pitiful way. It was really kind of silly and hokey. But it was called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And it's so theologically incorrect. They had Satan nailing Jesus to the cross. I'll tell you what, Satan wanted him anywhere but that. And that's what the temptations. Look, do you want the keys to the kingdom? I've got them. I'll give them to you. Just bow to me. You don't have to go be brutalized and beaten. Just bow to me. Won't you show a demonstration of religion here? See? Won't you throw yourself? Think how many people would, you know, if that hits the Jerusalem Gazette, think how many people would be drawn by such a religious display. Throw yourself off. Because doesn't the scripture say that he won't even let you dash your foot? He won't let you stump your toe. He'll send angels to catch you. Or why don't you use your religion for some good? You're hungry? Why are you hungry? You don't have to be hungry. You can turn these stones into bread. Well, see, isn't it interesting how much Satan knew about him? And that Satan wasn't speaking lies. I mean, he could have turned. Could he not have turned those stones into bread? If he threw himself off the pinnacle of the temple, would he not have been rescued and not hurt? And wasn't Christ here for one purpose? That is to seize the keys out of the hands of Satan. You remember in the 10th chapter of Luke, the disciples came back and said, even the demons are subject to us through your name. And Jesus says, behold, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. But don't brag about, don't be pleased about the fact that your name, or that these men, or that these demons are subject unto you through this name. But rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. See, he knew. They knew. And that gripped these people with the fear. And many that believed came and confessed. They believed, and then they confessed. And they showed their deeds. Well, that's the way it is. Belief must come first. Then confession. Why are you going to confess to something you don't believe? And then deeds. What about your life? Is that the sequence? And you see, you must be born of the Spirit before you can believe. But you're born of the Spirit. He came into his own. John writes to us, the first chapter of John. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. Isn't that interesting language? They didn't receive him, but as many as received him. Well, who were they? They were those born of the Spirit of God. The ones who were born of God received him, believed, confessed. They were all resurrected to a newness of life that showed in their deeds what they did, what they thought, how they lived, how they treated their wives, their children, how the women treated their husbands. How do you know that you have become a child of God? Because you've been transformed in mind and heart and mouth and in deeds. And many of them also which use curious arts. The idea here is black magic, witchcraft, brought their books together and burned them before all. See, it's interesting, all right? So you see the sequence here, right? There's these exorcists dealing in black, dark arts. The demon said, the evil spirits in the man said, we know Jesus, we know Paul. They're gripped with fear. And they're giving up these books. Now listen, don't miss the point. What books were Peter reading that gave him the power of the Spirit? I mean, were they up in the upper room there studying books? I mean, Paul ultimately studied, but after he was converted, went to the wilderness and studied some things, but did Paul get this through books? You see, it shows that all of this was made up. There was no true magic in any of this. It was bewitched. They learned it. Look, we preach the gospel. You must know the gospel. We teach you the word of God. You must know the word of God. But ultimately, you didn't learn this from the voice of a preacher or from reading the books of preachers. You learned this by the power of the Spirit of God that taught it to you. as we were looking at this morning in Hebrews chapter 9, it says that these things will be written on their hearts, on this new covenant, you see. I'm going to have mercy upon their unrighteousness. It's written upon their hearts. And a man will not have to say to his neighbor, believe in the Lord, know the Lord, for they shall all know the Lord. By the power of the Spirit, you see. When a person is confronted with real, godly, converting power, true power of the Spirit, they see the falseness of all this other stuff. And so they're burning these books. This is phony. We have left this kind of living. And it didn't matter the cost of it, you see. But the scripture gives us the cost. 50,000 pieces of silver. Well, if that's 50,000 ounces of silver, multiply 50,000 by about $25 today. $25 an ounce is about what silver is. And you'll notice the great sum of money. That they forfeited. And didn't mind doing it. You see, here's the fulfillment of the pearl of great price. Here's the fulfillment of the treasure hidden in the field. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is as a treasure hidden in the field. And when a man discovers it, he goes and sells everything he has to buy the field. Or when he sees the pearl of great price, he goes and sells everything he has gladly to get it. Well, we see that. And so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You see, there's a word play from verse 16 to verse 20. And the men in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon, or the man with the evil spirit leaped upon them and overcame them and prevailed against. The evil spirit prevailed against the false religionist. But now, the word of God prevails over them all, you see. Verse 21. And after these things, were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit. Now, what does this mean? He purposed in the Spirit. Well, you'll notice that in the King James Version and maybe in some of the other versions that you might read, the word spirit here is in small letter, which means it's Paul's own spirit. But we know that Paul's spirit, his own spirit, was led by the Spirit. So he purposed in the Spirit. When he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, so after I pass through this, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Well, he's going to see Rome. I'm not sure, as we read this, exactly what he meant. He may have had an understanding that God may have already revealed to him that things are going to go terribly wrong in Jerusalem. He's going to find his way to Rome. Or he may just understand, I'm going to be at Rome. Well, he did finally make it to Rome at the expense of the Roman Empire. They arrested him, they put him on a ship, and he wound up in Rome as a prisoner. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus or Timothy, and Erastus. But he stayed in Asia, meaning Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey. He stayed in Asia for a season. And see, sometimes the scripture gives us definite times, sometimes it gives us general times, a season. And the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. So it has been said of the Apostle Paul that wherever the Apostle Paul went, there was either revival or riot, sometimes both. Don't think that you're going to go into a place and start preaching the truth of God's word to people that have really never heard the truth of God's word and think that there will not be a stir. There will be. I can attest to that in my own life. Especially if you go into people who think they know when they really don't know. Or people that know a little but don't know it all. Or don't have it all put right. Or people that just know kind of a truncated understanding. Or they mix their own thinking, their own human logic with it, you see. But wherever it comes, there's no small stir about that way. And we're talking about the way of Christ. We're talking about Christianity. We're talking about the gospel. In the book of Acts, sometime referred to as that way. These are the men who have turned the world upside down. And one preacher says, no, they didn't turn it upside down. They turned it right side up. Because it was already upside down. Well, it's different. It changes them. And if you start touching people's idols, they get angry. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, or literally one that pounds silver, which made silver shrines for Diana. Now, the Greek word here is Artemis. Some of the modern translators will, or translations will translate this Artemis. The King James translators didn't just transliterate it, bringing it out of the Greek letter by letter into the English. But they actually translated it because Artemis was indeed this Diana. And because it's very, you can read this online, you know, go to Wikipedia and read about Diana, and you'll see that three goddesses in their thinking came into this one name. But anyway, by this time, she would be known as Diana. So the silver shrines were made for Diana or Artemis. Brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. In other words, being roughly translated in modern day English, in South Mississippi, they were making a killing on selling these little shrines. Why is it that all false religion comes down to money? Notice that? Always comes down to money. Over there in Africa, you know what they're preaching? The gospel is prosperity. Number one, how silly. Number two, how cruel. How cruel to go over there to these people that are in such rank poverty and start saying, if you have the favor of God, you will have possession. Well, they made a killing. But then Paul came in with this stuff. We don't believe that. That's never been preached here. Who do you think you are? You think you know what no other preacher knew? We don't believe that here. So he called them together. All these men of the like occupation said, sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth. And by the way, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but also throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods, which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed. Whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Well, I don't have time to give you the points. I've gave you some of them already, but I just want to ask you this. Demetrius, what was Demetrius really concerned about? The magnificence of Diana? Or the magnificence of his wallet? So why are you following Christ? Let's pray.